into a brand new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Jason Williams, and we are here to break down what took place in the AFC Championship, the Bengals 2022 season, and where the team goes from here. There's so much to unpack, Jason, about, you know, the game on Sunday, and now we're 2 days removed from it recording this. I want to ask you, what part of the game really stood out to you in terms of you felt like that part of the game, whether it surprised you or you felt like played a significant role in the outcome of the game? I want to start it by that, because rather than just kind of going through what happened, I want to focus on the turning points of what took place on Sunday night.
Hey, Kelsey, glad to be back with you. The overriding thing that stands out, it wasn't necessarily one play, but to me, the fact that the Bengals really struggled to block, that I think the injuries on the offensive line really caught up to the Bengals in this game. And I know it's gotten that factor has kind of gotten overshadowed by certain plays, Joseph Osai, the penalty and the officiating and all that. But I think ultimately, the Bengals lost because they couldn't block. And, I think we could sit here and say, well, at some point you thought the injuries on the offensive line would catch up to them. It's a storyline that hasn't, gotten a lot of headlines out of this game. But I think it is the underlying reason as to why the Bengals didn't win. And I don't subscribe to the whole blame the refs thing and or even blame like one play per se. If we're going to look at a play or two, I think you could look at, Drew Chrisman's punt there that gave the I almost call them the Royals, the Chiefs, the ball back, the ball back to go on their winning drive. It was not a good punt. It was a line drive that they got a good return on out to near midfield. But I'm not going to sit here and blame Drew Chrisman. No, it's sort of cliche to say, well, you can go down the list and see all these different plays. But I think ultimately, Kelsey, the Bengals just they struggled at the line of scrimmage on the offensive side, and that hurt them.
Yeah, I felt like the game completely came down to the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I didn't think clearly the Bengals blocked well enough. And it's almost like and not that the Bengals could have controlled the injuries, but how crazy is it that 2 years in a row in these, massive games this year, it's the AFC Championship, last year it's the Super Bowl, the Bengals lose because they can't protect Burrow enough, and they had done such a good job all year long. It just sucks that they had to play that game with three starters down, but that's life in the NFL, of course. But that, I feel like it's being overshadowed, as you said, because the more you read about and I rewatch the game, they got dominated. Max Sharping and Hakeem Adeniji on the right side just got absolutely torched, and I say that with full respect to the fact that the Chiefs had a very good defensive line heading into the game, and Chris Jones is one of the best defensive players, if not the best defensive player in the NFL. But man, Max Sharping and Hakeem Adeniji, those two combined for 12 pressures on Burrow. So it was brutal. And when Jonah and Alex Capo went down, you and I sit next to each other in the games, and we both said, like, that's huge. Like, and Zach Taylor, of course, did his whole coach speak, like, we're still confident. But you had to wonder, all of us were thinking, when is the other shoe going to drop in terms of those injuries? Like, at some point, those reserves were going to be the Achilles heel of this team, and they proved to be in the biggest game. But there were also other plays. I didn't think the Bengals were able to affect Mahomes enough at the line of scrimmage. I thought far too often he just had way too much time. And it's not so much about sacks on Mahomes. It's just like affecting him in the pocket. And he just didn't seem to be affected as much as I thought the Bengals were going to try. I know that you have to be careful with throwing too much at Mahomes because you got to have enough players back to defend all of his weapons. But I just didn't think the Bengals up front on the defensive line affected him and got him off the spot enough for the fact that he was legitimately playing on one leg. So I thought those two things were major factors in the game. And it brings us to a good point. So the Bengals, the last 2 years, the run that the Bengals have made has been awesome. It is so hard in the NFL because of the way they structure things to get back to a one game away from the Super Bowl. And the Bengals being back-to-back division champs, awesome for them. But the one takeaway I have post the game is, people want to know about the future of the Bengals. Was this 2 year run an anomaly, or is it what you can expect? Like, are the Bengals going to be the new Chiefs? And by that, I mean the Chiefs. By the way, for people that don't understand how good the Chiefs are, they've hosted that AFC Championship game 5 years in a row. Every single year, Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback for the Chiefs. He's gotten his team to the AFC Championship at home. And you know what's important about that is, the next step for the Bengals, in my opinion, is not messing around with those first couple games of the seasons, or not really having any of those stinkers like they had on Halloween Eve and on Halloween, because as you see, every game matters. And for those people that say, oh, September doesn't really matter, you are two wins away from being able to host all your playoff games. So for the Bengals, that's the next step, in my opinion, is continue to win more in the regular season to the point where you do become like the Chiefs, where people expect you to win every single game. Whereas I'm not sure the Bengals are there yet. I think they can get there. But I mean, think about it. Had they beaten the Steelers in week one and the Cowboys in week two, they're hosting that game because they beat the Chiefs in the regular season. So what do you think about that in terms of like that being the next step for this team?
I agree. I think that's really interesting you brought up the early season, because I was thinking about that this morning. I was kind of even chuckling at myself as I was sort of running the season back through my mind and, you know, going back to training camp and, you know, guys stuff like, you remember the – remember, one of the big questions is like, Lyle Collins isn't practicing and he's one of the new linemen. And, you know, Burrow had the appendectomy and like, oh, my goodness, none of these guys are playing in the preseason. And oh, they go out and lose two in a row and they don't play well and they just look unorganized and the offense is completely out of sync. And you know, I think that'll be interesting when the time comes to ask Zach about that. Will he change his approach there? And I think probably I shouldn't put words in his mouth, but perhaps his response would be, well, we went to the AFC Championship last year by doing, or, you know, last 2 years in the Super Bowl, one of those years. So maybe they won't change anything. But on the, I think by the way you saying it is, let's, you know, have they gotten one of those early two games? And let's face it, they should have won that Pittsburgh game. And I know there's going to be a game or two every year, even for the best teams, that you're like, yeah, you'd like to have that one back. But you make a great point. Like, if the Bengals don't go lay a stinker in Cleveland, or they come out and, you know, they're ready to play more so against Pittsburgh in the opener, are they hosting that game on this past Sunday? And how big of a difference would that have made? Because let's face it, in against a team like the Chiefs, in any of these kinds of games, like, you know, it's the home field advantage that really can push you over the edge. And as we've seen enough examples, enough sample size of the Chiefs and the Bengals now to say these are two incredibly even teams. And so when you throw in home field advantage, that could be the difference in two very even teams. And, you know, I mean, would the Chiefs have done what they did in Cincinnati the other day? Maybe. I don't know. But you certainly would much rather have that on your home field than you would having to have to go to Kansas City again 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I think it's an important topic because we kind of just glossed over, oh, the Bengals won 10 games at the end. But the way they started the season, you know, they can't do that again next year. If they want to get to the level of the Chiefs, you know, where you're hosting, you're in the contention to host the AFC Championship game every year. Playoffs isn't even a question. It's like, you know, you're already making your plans to be working in the end of January. And I feel like that's kind of the next step for this Bengals team is to become more automatic. And the, I think the difference between the Bengals and the Chiefs is that the Bengals had a couple of sinkers and they lost, whereas the Chiefs might not play particularly well. Like, I go back to the Chiefs game against the Houston Texans. I was watching it in the press box while I was waiting for the Bengals to get ready to play the Bucks in the middle of December. And it looks like the Texans, the worst team in the NFL, was going to beat the Chiefs. But in the final seconds, the Chiefs found a way to win and they continue to be in the driver's seat for the number one overall seed. That's kind of the difference, I think, between the Bengals and the Chiefs, is that the Bengals haven't quite showed that they can, if they're playing terrible and they're not able to block, they can find a way to still win. And so I think that's to me the next step for this team. But in order to talk about what the next step of the team is, and you and I will talk about it a bunch this offseason, we'll continue to have episodes of the podcast to break down all that goes on in the NFL offseason. But let's quickly get your thoughts on the upcoming free agents pending. So just I'll start it with this. There are five starters who are scheduled to become free agents when the new league year begins in the middle of March. That means, for people that don't quite understand what the new league year means, those five players will not be on the Bengals roster when 4 p.m. strikes that day. So that doesn't mean that they're not going to come back, but it means they will not be on the roster unless the Bengals reach a deal with them ahead of time. So the Bengals have decisions to make because Von Bell, Eli Apple, Jesse Bates, Hayden Hurst, and Jermaine Pratt are the five starters I'm talking about. They are not scheduled to be on this roster in a month. Of those five players, who, if you could be Katie Blackburn and Zach Taylor, and you could control the Bengals roster, of those five players, who of those five is the one that you're like, got to have back?
Von Bell. His impact in the secondary, and given that you're going to lose Jesse Bates, I think that puts the more of an emphasis on bringing Von Bell back. Relatively young cornerback position and just the secondary overall. And so to have his veteran presence back there, a very solid player, and now you're going to lose Jesse Bates. I just feel like of that five guys you just mentioned there, I feel like he has to be priority number one to get him back. And then my number two would be Hurst. He was really, really a great addition to that offense this year. Just a nice compliment in that, short and intermediate passing game. The Bengals are, they have to weigh something there. Will they be able to get, Michael Mayer, a hometown guy from out of Notre Dame in the draft? I don't know. I mean, do they roll the dice and think that they can get him and that he's going to be ready to go and make an impact? I think he's an instant impact kind of player. But those are my thoughts initially on that. And I think, certainly those two guys, and I'm not sure, I think you can let the other guys walk's not the right word, but if you don't bring it back, I don't think that, it's going to have that huge of an impact on the team overall.
It's also worth noting that they could test the market, these free agents, and if they don't get the offer that they want, they could come back. Like, the Bengals if the Bengals want those players to come back, what they'll do is they'll tell their agents, this is how much we'd be willing to give X. And it's then up to the player if they want to test the market and see if they're worth more, or if they just want to tank the Bengals offer. Like, I think that could be a Hayden Hurst situation where he wants to get paid, but he's, you know, in his upper 20s and he really likes it in Cincinnati. He likes the way they feature him. He said it's the most fun he's having played. Like, does he want to go to his fourth team in 4 years? Or does he, if the Bengals offer him a 2-year deal and he's comfortable with that, is that what he does? So there's a lot that can also take place. Even if these players do test the market, it doesn't mean that they're not going to come back. It just means that they're going to go see what is out there for them. I agree. I think all signs point to this being the end of Jesse Bates in Cincinnati. That was all but signed, sealed, and delivered when the team drafted Dax Hill last year, because Jesse wants a lot of money. And you can't blame him for the fact that he wants money, because he's trying to set up his family. And, you know, he made a comment after the game and he was like, I don't have the luxury of not getting an extra $10 million to set up for my family. So that's all, looks like that one's not going to return, which I agree. I think Von Bell is so important to this team. And I think if you could pick any of them, you'd pick Von Bell. I would go Von Bell, then Jermaine Pratt as number two. But Pratt also had a very good year this year. And I think, you know, he could be on a lot of teams' wish list. So I think Von, but also Von, who knows if what Von wants. Does Von want to test the market and see if he can get paid even more than what the Bengals want to offer? So there's a lot of questions about those guys and who will be back. And, you know, the good thing about the NFL is that it happens pretty quick. So you'll get your answer soon, Bengals fans awaiting. But with all of that.
So great.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah. Just get it done and move on. Usually that stuff's done in a day or two, essentially, in free agency.
Yeah. So let's talk quickly, because if we're going to talk about those five players, we also have to talk about the biggest storyline of the Bengals season, and that is the contract negotiations with the Bengals and Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, now having completed his third NFL season, is open to being able to start negotiations for his second NFL contract, which is going to end up being the largest of his career. It's the time that everyone in the NFL world says you just got to make it to the second contract, because that's what sets you up financially. He is going to become the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Every time a quarterback signs, they set the market, and he is going to become the highest paid quarterback. That doesn't mean he's going to get a Deshaun Watson type deal. It's almost, you can almost book it that that's not going to happen, because if you look at the way the Chiefs structured Patrick Mahomes' deal, it was over the course of 10 years. And that's what has allowed the Chiefs to not suffer the whole conversation of this is what happens when you have to pay your quarterback. Because if you've noticed, the Chiefs paid Patrick Mahomes top dollar, and they're still in contention every year because of the way they structured the contract. So that's going to be the key here, is how do the Bengals and Joe Burrow structure this contract? Does he want all of his money guaranteed in the first couple of years, or is he willing to space it out? We don't know what he wants, because this is the first time the Bengals will negotiate with him. It's not going to be his only contract with the Bengals. They want to have him here until he's done playing, and he said he wants to be here. How do you envision, Jason, this process going?
And this is just a gut feeling on this. I just have a feeling it's going to go fairly smoothly, and that Joe Burrow is going to want it to be structured similar. And again, this is literally a guess on my part, just trying to read the players involved, that he'll be willing to structure it in a similar way as Mahomes, so that they can they'll be able to get or keep some other key veteran players to to build this into something that is sustainable, like the Chiefs have done. I'm not basing that on anything other than, again, just generally reading the room sort of thing. And so that's just my kind of somewhat educated guess on it. But I don't know. I just don't see it being ugly. I don't see it being something that's going to drag out for a long time. But I see it as a similar type of structurally as to Mahomes. And because, you know, Joe Burrow, just the things that he said is what leads me to believe that he wants to be here. He understands his impact on this organization. He sees, what he loves, Zach Taylor. This team has proven or has shown, and this ownership has shown, that they're willing to stick with a head coach for a long time and through thick and thin. And so, you know, I think Joe Burrow sees, hey, Zach Taylor's going to be here a long time, and they want to build something special. In order to be able to do that, you have to structure a contract for the quarterback the way that they have in Kansas City. Otherwise, it becomes a situation where, well, your quarterback's making so much money and is taking so much of it that you have to really be really lean at some key positions. And so you risk, like, are you going to be able to keep up and sustain, high levels of winning with a contract like that? So I think Joe Burrow is looking at it that way. I think Joe Burrow's just his overall approach to life and, his humility, is the fact that he's an Ohio guy. And I'm not naive to think that, like, you know, he's going to give a hometown discount because he's from Ohio. I don't mean that. I just meant from the standpoint of all those things involved there, and that, you know, he'll get paid and he'll make sure that he gets paid. But does he get paid, you know, in the next couple of years, or does he get paid over a longer period of time? And you alluded to that. So I think, again, this is just my kind of read on it, that he will be willing to do that longer structure type of contract. And I think that the Cincinnati Bengals, certainly if that does end up happening, I think we're sitting here talking about maybe in, you know, a few years, talking about the Cincinnati Bengals the way the Kansas City Chiefs are being talked about right now. The Bengals are they're well on their way. And again, you know, it's the NFL, and so there are no guarantees. Ted Karras talked about that after the game the other night. If that quarterback structured the right way, it allows you to be able to pay other players to keep winning. Wouldn't it be fun, Kelsey, to, like, that this is just the beginning of the Chiefs Bengals rivalry in the AFC Championship game, and that, you know, Mahomes Burrow is the new Manning Brady of this era. Yeah. And I know everybody's looking for that kind of a narrative and all that, and I'm certainly not one of those people, but I think Bengals fans have a lot to be excited about. And you have to be, but on the flip side, I think you have to be cautious about it, because of the way the NFL is structured, so many teams have been so good 1 year, and then you think they're going to take the next step the next year, and they take a step back.
Yep.
And, like, you just, the way things are, this from the schedule to the draft, just the way things are set up in this league, if you are a good team, mm-hmm. you are, I hate to use the word, but you're kind of punished. So next year, the Bengals, again, are going to have an incredibly difficult schedule mm-hmm. because they're good.
Well, so, I think what you said, I just want to bring up one point on this. The Bengals are in a good spot, but to be the Chiefs and for it to continue to be Bengals and Chiefs, the team around Burrow is important. It's not, yeah, of course, Joe Burrow said the windows his whole career, but he's got to have a good team around him to continue to get back to the AFC Championship. Like, you can't overstate how important the Bengals defense was to the Bengals overall record, because there were games where the Bengals offense struggled, but that defense kept them in games. Yep. And I also want to point this to you. So that I just named the five free agents this year. If you look to next year, and don't worry, we won't get too far into this because that's a long time from now.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of big decisions then.
It is worth noting, because that's when you get into Trey Hendrickson, DJ Reader, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. That's the next wave of starters. And you could argue that that one's more important than this year's free agent class. And that's why, yes, who knows, the Bengals could continue to defy odds and continue to get back to the AFC Championship. But that, to me, was really what stung a little bit about this season for the Bengals, is because I truly think this was the best team that they have had maybe ever. And those guys aren't good. You're not going to be able to keep them all because of Burrow's contract. And then you know, what happens if you pay T. Higgins and Jamar Chase? You're definitely not going to be able to keep DJ Reader and Trey Hendrickson and Joe Mixon and Tyler Boyd. You know, like, there's just not enough money. So, and that's not to say the Bengals can't draft, but as you and I were talking about, and we'll get more into this closer to the draft, but how important is this year's draft and next year's draft going to be that the Bengals hit on those players, knowing what's coming down the pipeline, right?
That's right. And this is where the Bengals have struggled in the drafts, are those role player types of players. Of course they hit on Joe Burrow. They got the franchise quarterback. But, you know, the Bengals, they have to top to bottom draft better. And this puts even more of an onus on that, as they are going to lose guys because they can't pay him, because they're paying Joe Burrow. And so you're going to have to really be better at the draft to getting plug and play players that can be, you know, solid players, complementary players right out of the gate. And, the Bengals, they had the luxury, I think, in last year's draft to be able to pick some guys that they, you know, could spend more time developing. Dax Hill certainly comes to mind. But now, looking to this year, the spotlight is on Dax Hill moving into next year, with Jesse Bates almost certainly moving on. So, you know, you're right. We'll talk more about that more in depth, I think, later on as we get closer to the draft. But this Joe Burrow contract, I think the overriding storyline is this Joe Burrow contract is going to put more pressure and onus on the drafts, and to not miss the way they've missed on a lot of players in the draft. That's going to be a big challenge for this organization.
Yeah, well, as you said, we'll talk more about it. I just wanted to get some of your quick thoughts out here and let the listeners know what's coming, because as we mentioned, it's coming quick. The Bengals also, you know, could lose two of their coordinators. Offensive coordinator Brian Callahan is interviewing for a second interview with the Indianapolis Colts, and also scored a first interview with the Arizona Cardinals. Lou Anarumo, the Bengals defensive coordinator, is interviewing the Arizona Cardinals for their head coaching job today as we're recording this podcast. So you just never know. If the Bengals were to lose Brian Callahan, the obvious choice internally is Dan Pitcher, the quarterback's coach, who they just gave a big time extension to. And then on the defensive side of the ball, there's not really a front runner on who would take over for Lou Anarumo, but those are certainly things going on right now. So there's never a shortage of NFL news, especially surrounding this Bengals team with all that they have going on. So be sure to stay tuned on listening to the podcast, checking out Cincinnati.com, because Jason and I will be giving our thoughts and analysis on every move that this team makes. Jason's probably going to switch. What are you switching gears now a little bit more towards basketball? What's the next couple weeks like for you?
Yeah, we're look, Yeah, looking at prepping for spring training and the Reds, and the Xavier team is really good, and you know, getting ready to, you know, they look like they could be a team that makes a deep tournament run. So I think those will be some of my big focuses here in the next month.
Okay, well, great.
And obviously keeping tabs, because as Kelsey, you've reminded me, and we've talked about this. The NFL is a 12-month news machine, so certainly keeping tabs on the Bengals, and you know, it's an exciting time to be covering this organization, because I think there's, again, if everything, people stay healthy, they make the right moves, and you know, fill in the holes with the draft, and some of these guys are going to lose. This thing could be really good for a while now.
Yep. And we will be there to cover it every step of the way. Yep. I am going to take a week off and try and get my body, sleep, rest, recover from this season so that I can be geared up and ready to go for the off season. So there'll be no podcast for Jason and I next week. But as I said, we will be recording podcasts throughout the off season just to make sure you guys have what you need from the Bengals. Jason, enjoy your Wednesday. It's sunny, but it's of course not warm here in Cincinnati, but at least the sun's out.
Can I say a couple more things? Kels, congrats on your second season covering the Bengals. You broke a lot of big stories this year, and just you're a great teammate, and I enjoy working with you and have enjoyed doing the podcast with you. The other thing I want to let people know, you and I recorded with the Inquirer's That's So Cincinnati podcast today. We talked about completely different Bengals related things in that podcast, which that should be out within the next day, with our executive editor Burl Love and our City Hall reporter Sherry Coolidge. So I would encourage folks to go listen to that, because we talked about, you know, we talked about what we talked about here, football stuff. We talked about some other Bengals related things over there on that podcast, and certainly want to support the TSC. Burl and Sherry do a great job of that.
Yep, absolutely. I'm glad that you brought that up. And of course, congrats on your first season covering the Bengals as the sports columnist. I'm excited that we'll be able to cover this team together for hopefully a lot of years to come. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.